I want to begin my talk today by quoting an old hymn. I'm going to give you the words of this hymn. The title of the song is, Does Jesus Care? Same thing I ask the kids, does Jesus really care? Sometimes it seems like he's far away. Sometimes it seems like he's not answering our prayers. This is an old hymn. It was written in 1901. That makes it 124 years old. It's not in our hymn book. It is in our hymn book over the other building. But it's still a relevant song. So most of us don't know it. I think Tom and I knew it when we sang it this morning. But I want you to notice how the song is written. It's written in a series of questions and answers. Each verse, three verses, asks a question. It's the same question. And each answers the same way. Let me just read it to you. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth and song? As the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long? Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched by my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Does Jesus care when my way is dark with a nameless dread and fear? As the daylight fades into deep night shades, does he care enough to be near? Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched by my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me, and my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks? Is it felt by him? Does he see? Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched by my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Do you know that? Do you know that Jesus cares? He notices. This verse says, his heart is touched by my grief. We've all been through grief. We've had hardships. Sometimes you feel alone. Sometimes you feel forgotten. But this verse promises that Jesus will be with us even through the dark valleys. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. That hymn that I just quoted is a summary of my message for you today. Here we go. It's a question and an answer. Does Jesus care? Oh, yes, he cares. That's it. That's my whole message. I want to try a different kind of way of doing a sermon today. You already caught on to it. I'm going to do an interactive sermon. Every time I ask, does Jesus care? I want you to say, oh, yes, he cares. Now, I want you to say it with some conviction. Does Jesus care?
Oh, yes, he cares.
Okay, so that's going to come up often through my message, and that'll help keep the guy next to you awake. If you're a nodder, every once in a while you're going to hear, oh, yes, he cares. We may sometimes feel alone. We're not alone, but we feel alone. We feel abandoned. We feel forgotten. A couple weeks ago, I talked about John the Baptist there in jail. Remember, he had been out living in the wilderness, eating crazy food like honey and locusts, and wearing crazy clothes, and preaching out in the streets, out in the wilderness, and baptizing people. Suddenly he finds himself in prison. Does Jesus care? Does he know I'm here? Oh, wow, you got me there. But we need to remind ourselves that Jesus cares, that he's with us through every difficulty. Even the name Emmanuel means what? God with us. He is with you. He cares for you. He sees us when we get down in our pit of despair. And he reaches out and he lifts us up out of the pit and onto out of the miry clay, David calls it, Psalm 42. So I want to illustrate this truth from one short verse, one verse today. Here's the verse, it's Matthew 12:20. A battered reed he will not break off, and a smoldering wick he will not put out. As you know, we're in a series through the book of Matthew, and sometimes we take large sections. Jonathan last Sunday had a long section about Jesus and the heart of the Sabbath and what that meant. The next few verses, I just actually selected just this one verse because I love this verse so much. So sometimes we'll take a lot, sometimes we'll take a little, but we're just working through the book of Matthew as God leads us. I want to focus on this verse because it reveals the heart of Jesus. It shows us the compassion of Christ. Look again at Matthew 12:20, this time out of the NIV. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. Now, I know at first glance this seems like an obscure verse. Bruised reeds? What's that got to do with me? Smoldering wicks? What does it have to do with us today? When Jesus spoke these words, he was actually quoting all the way back from Isaiah chapter 42, verse 3. These are verses from the Old Testament, and Jesus says, I'm the Messiah, and these have to do with me. And it has nothing to do with literal reeds. This is not about the environment, about taking care of the plants, nothing about that, nothing about candles or wicks. What Jesus is doing here is describing how the Messiah, and he is the Messiah, would treat the people around him, specifically those who are suffering, who are weak, who are hurting, who are helpless. The suffering people, he describes them as bruised reeds, not strong reeds, but bruised reeds, broken reeds, and smoldering wicks. We'll talk about what that means as we dig in. So let's look at each of these. Let's look at the bruised reed, and then secondly, we'll look at the smoldering wicks, and we'll see what this has to do with us. What comes to your mind when you think of reeds? Reeds. Probably the tall weeds that grow along a riverbank or a lakeshore. Maybe like these cattails. We've all seen those, haven't we? Or these fragile grasses that shoot up out of the ground. They're fast-growing. They're hollow-centered. They're plants that shoot up quickly, but they're very weak and easily damaged. They're easily bent, battered, and bruised, as our text suggests. That is the image of humanity that God is communicating, that Jesus is communicating. According to Jesus, we are like battered, bruised reeds. We've been weakened. We've been damaged. We've been compromised. Sure, some of us stand tall and proud for a while until that diagnosis hits, till that economy fails, till that loss happens, that trial comes. When everything is going well, it's easy to stand strong and tall and proud. But sooner or later, we're going to be humbled by the circumstances of this life. How do I know that? Because Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. There's going to be trials. There's going to be hardships. You're going to be bruised by something or someone. You're going to be battered by some difficult situation. It's going to come. If you've escaped it so far, you're very fortunate. There's going to be sickness. There's going to be a crisis. So let me suggest a couple ways that we become a bruised reed. Some reeds are damaged by nature. What do I mean by that? Well, harsh weather, nature, the wind, the hail, the snow can bruise and bend the weak willowy weeds. Likewise, by application, many people can be damaged by natural causes too. The circumstances of this life, sicknesses, disease, handicaps. No one's to blame for those. They just sometimes happen naturally. And it's so sad, so tragic to see people who are damaged physically, emotionally, mentally. It's a part of life. But here we read about the ministry of Christ. As we read in Matthew and the Gospels, we see Jesus drawn to the battered reeds, not to those who think they're healthy and strong, but those who are desperate in this world. Over and over in the Gospels, we read that Jesus felt compassion on that person. He reached out and healed the sick. He touched blind eyes. He helped the left out, the hurting. So Jesus reached out to the bruised reeds, the bruised people around him. Let me ask you a question. Does Jesus care?
Yes, he
does. Does Jesus care about our troubles? Does Jesus care about your troubles?
Yes,
he cares. 1 Peter 5:7 tells us, cast all your care upon him for what? He cares for you. Oh, yes, he cares. He notices. You're not abandoned. You're not left. Now, why God doesn't heal us instantly, I don't know. He could. But sometimes he allows us to go through hardships and to be bruised. Jesus is called a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Jesus went through a crucifixion, didn't he? Through rejection. He understands. He can understand when you are hurt, what you're feeling. The Bible talks about in Hebrews 4 that we have a high priest who empathizes with us, who suffers with us, who understands our pain, who understands our grief. And he promises to comfort us and not always cure us, not always heal us, but to comfort us in our affliction. Why? Because he cares. He comes alongside to take care of us. We're often overwhelmed by our cares. We worry about our health. How many worry about their health? Don't have to raise your hands, but this is a little bit of an older congregation, and I'm right in there with you. And I've got some health issues. We worry about our family. If anybody has a family to worry about, I do. A lot of kids, a lot of grandkids. Some do well, some do poorly. Some are bruised, some are hurting. We worry about the economy. How's a young couple going to buy a house today? How are we going to afford groceries? How can we afford a car payment? We worry about the future. I mean, the future seems like it's going crazy as we look ahead a little bit. Cast all your cares on Christ. Why? He cares for you. He cares for you. He knows what you're going through. But I think when we read this, we need to turn the tables and ask ourselves, if Jesus cares, do we care? Do we care about others? Do we only care about ourselves? Jesus never cared about himself. He cared about others, didn't he? Others was his theme. Do we feel compassion toward those who have been damaged by the circumstances of life, that are bruised, that are hurting? Do we do all we can to ease their pain, minister to their needs, heal their hurts? Are we living like Jesus on the earth? Let's be like Jesus. Let's comfort those around us. Let's do all we can to help those who are damaged. I said some of the reeds are damaged by nature. But also, number two, some reeds are damaged by people. I'm talking about the reeds now, the bushes. Reeds can be damaged and bruised by rough treatment. For instance, a fisherman may carelessly walk down the riverbank and he's just stomping on the reeds and they're just getting beaten down by a person. A little weed was happy there until somebody stepped on it and crushed it. Or maybe a child comes up and breaks off a reed and uses it as a sword, have some fun with it. There are endless ways that reeds can be damaged by people. Likewise, some people are damaged by some people. Not just by life and nature and circumstances, but some people have been damaged by other people. I hear this all the time. We don't go to church because there was this family, and they're talking about something that happened 30 years ago. You know, my dad had a falling out with somebody in the church, and we never went to church again, and some people are damaged by us, by other people. Children are too often abused. Wives sometimes are beaten. Workers are fired People are damaged by unkind words, insults, texts, tweets, posts, social media. We're damaging each other. People trample over other people to get to the top. The rich abuse the poor. The poor steal from the rich. And the result is there's a lot of bruised reeds, damaged people in this world. And they've been damaged by somebody and they hold a grudge. They want to get even. You know, we've always had chickens. And you may know this already, but if you add new chickens to an old flock, there's a fighting that happens among the chickens for a pecking order. Who's going to be the top chicken, I guess. It's true, people. I don't know what it is about people, but we fight at work, we fight at a neighborhood. We're people of conflict. My own illustration that I always like to give is that I never went to the same school for a year until I got to high school. So I was in different schools, two or three schools, because my parents moved around a lot, and I was little. I'm still little. And I was the new kid at school. So I understood what it meant literally to be bruised, to beat up, to be excluded. And you, on a much bigger scale, have felt that, haven't you? You're battered. You're bruised. Let me ask you this question. Does Jesus care?
Yes, he
cares. Does he know when you're hurting? Does he know when you've been rejected? Are you a man like he, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief? Jesus knows. And he was drawn to those who were damaged by others. The Jews have been abused by the Romans. The sinners have been battered by the religious priests and scribes and leaders. The lepers have been rejected by their families and by the healthy people. The Gentiles have been excluded by the Jews and mistreated. Again and again, we see Jesus reaching out to the bruised people, the bruised reeds, with his loving and comforting and healing. Now look again at that text, because that's not all it says. It says, a bruised reed he will not break. Rather than pile on and further damage these bruised reeds, Jesus came alongside and offered forgiveness and healing. He mended their bruises. He healed their broken hearts. He welcomed the outcasts. He became known as what? The friend of sinners. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus didn't pile on. He'll not break that reed. He came alongside to heal that reed. Before we move to our next word picture, let me ask you, are you a bruised reed? Are you a damaged person? Well, look to Jesus, because he specializes in touching and healing and mending broken hearts, bandaging our wounds. So we've seen this first picture, the bruised reed he will not break. Let's go to the second one, a smoldering wick. Smoldering wick. Look again at our text. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. Isn't that a cool phrase? He'll not snuff it out. We've all seen a smoldering candle, haven't we? When a candle or a lamp is blown out, the wick will sometimes continue to smolder and smoke for a few seconds. Is it lit? No, not quite. Is it out? No, not quite. It's somewhere in between lit and dead, alive and dead. That describes so many people. They are so close to being aflame for God, but they're not quite there. At the same time, they're so close to burning out, saying, I don't want anything to do with this Christianity. They're wavering. They're lingering between life and death, like a smoldering wick. Now, there's two ways to respond to a smoldering wick. You can snuff it out completely just by touch. Very simple, it's gone. Or you can fan it, give it a little air, give a little encouragement, and it comes back to life. Likewise, in the ministry of Jesus, we see some people who are like smoldering wicks. We see people who have been rejected by the world. We see some who are so close to God, yet so close to walking away. Remember that rich young ruler? It says he loved Jesus and wanted to follow Jesus. Jesus loved him. And he just had that little reason that he walked away and didn't follow Christ. He was right there at that smoldering wick stage. He wanted to go forward, but he went backwards. How sad. What's it say about Jesus? A smoldering wick he will not snuff out. People may be rejected by the world, but Jesus will not reject you. I'm reminded of Jairus' daughter. Do you remember her? And of Lazarus, another story. Both were considered dead, clinically, in the world's eyes. But Jesus is not willing to let these two die. That's very unusual. He didn't raise too many people. There could have been others we may not have a record of. But listen, he raised them back to life again. He fanned them back to life again. He called them from death to life. Do you know that Jesus interrupted every funeral he attended by raising the dead person back to life? Isn't that incredible? I'm also reminded of the woman with the blood issue. Remember her? She'd spent all her money, all her resources on doctors, and no one could help her. She was dying. She had this flow of blood that went on for years and years. She was helpless and hopeless. I think it said 12 years that she'd had this condition. She was almost snuffed out. But Jesus came along and healed her physically and spiritually. He didn't pile on. He didn't say, you're no good. He didn't reject her. He healed her. I wish we could do that. Wouldn't that be nice? I'm reminded of the lepers who lived as if they were dead. They may as well have been dead. They were considered terminal. This was an incurable disease. They were rejected by society. Anytime they got close to us, they had to say, I'm unclean. Don't come close to me. So here this man might have his leprosy and his kids are over there and he can't get close to his kids. He has to keep his distance. He had to put the food down, walk away, and let him come and get his food. What a sad condition. They were unclean, outcasts, isolated from their families, from their friends. And Jesus, what did he do? He came up and touched them. Touched them. Nobody would touch a leper. Jesus did. He healed them. He was unwilling to reject them, unwilling to snuff them out. Likewise, some people today are just like smoldering wicks. With a little encouragement, they could go either way. They're tottering between spiritual life and spiritual death. They're at a crossroads. There's a wide road, a broad road that leads to destruction, and there's a narrow road that leads to life. They're at this crossroads deciding which way to go. And their destiny will be determined by that decision. We may feel like giving up, but God doesn't. God is not wishing that any should perish. 2 Peter 3:9. God is not wanting people to perish. He wants them to live. I've come to give life and life abundant. They're tottering between spiritual life and spiritual death. It could go either way. Jesus reaches down and fans the flame. I want life. I want to give you eternal life. Why is that? Does Jesus care? He cares for those who are right on the edge. He cares for you. He proved it by dying on the cross. Greater love has no man than this, that one will lay down his life for his friends. Jesus died that we might live. He took the punishment for our sin, died on the cross, so that you and I might live. He who believes in him shall live even if he dies. It's all about life. Yes, Jesus cares. He cares enough to lay down his life for you. For you, for me, for each of us. I wonder if there's some here today who are like smoldering wicks. You're kind of wavering, not trying, you know, not sure if you believe yet, it's time to make that decision and take that narrow way and follow Christ. Follow him. He's the one that can give you life. Maybe you've been wrestling with that decision to go your own way, which leads to death, or to go Christ's way, which leads to life. Here's what the Bible says. Listen to this. Now, this is a great verse. I've set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live. You've got the choice. You're at the crossroads. You can choose death, like the broad majority on the broad road, or you could be the individuals, the few that find that narrow road to life. Choose life, the Bible declares. Choose Jesus, who can give you eternal life. As we wrap up, let me read our text one final time. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. If you are a bruised reed today, you've been damaged by people, damaged by life, by health, by circumstances, let Jesus bandage you up spiritually. He may or may not heal you, but he'll be with you. Let Jesus bring healing to your soul. Amen? If you are a smoldering wick, you're wavering between life and death, let Jesus reignite your faith. Come back to him, like the testimony we had. Go back to your Bible. Go back to your church. Plug in. Listen to God. Draw near to him, and he'll draw near to you. Be still and know that he is God. He will reignite your faith if you ask him to. Choose life. Choose to follow Jesus with all your heart. Christian pastor and author Max Lucado has written a lot of best-selling books. He wrote one called He Still Moves Stones. And this is a very short chapter. I'm going to read it to you. And it has to do with this verse about the bruised reed and the smoldering wicks. We'll read this and then we'll close. Why does the Bible contain so many stories of hurting people? Why do we read one account after another of Jesus meeting people with problems? A crook on a cross? A wild man in a cemetery? Peter ashamed? Joseph bewildered? Martha bereaved? Though the situations vary, their conditions don't. They are trapped, estranged, rejected. They have nowhere to turn. On their lips, a desperate prayer. In their hearts, desolate dreams. And in their hands, a broken rope. But before their eyes is a never-say-die Galilean who majors in stepping in where everyone else steps out. Surprisingly simple, the actions of this man, just words of mercy or touches of kindness, fingers on sightless eyes, a hand on a weary shoulder, words for a sad heart, all fulfilling the prophecy, a bruised reed he will not break, a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. Why are these portraits in the Bible? Why does this gallery exist? Why did God leave us one story after another of wounded lives being restored? So that we could be grateful for the past? So we could look back with amazement at what Jesus did? No. No, 1,000 times no. The purpose of these stories is not to tell us what Jesus did. The purpose is to tell us what Jesus does. What Jesus does. We're not looking back and going, ooh, that was great what Jesus did. He does these same things in our lives today. Jesus did what Jesus did for these bruised reeds and smoldering wicks. He can do for you. He can do for me. As we go our separate ways, let me ask you this question one more time. Does Jesus care? Does Jesus care?
Yes.
Remind yourself of that when you go through a hardship. He's with you. He cares for you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful truth that Jesus had compassion on those who are hurting and helpless around him. And Lord, there are many hurting people here, and some may feel helpless. Lord, I pray that you would reignite their faith. Let them see you in their lives and realize you care. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.